Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. I wanted to give a couple updates regarding our staff. First, our part-time administrator, Claudia, will be rolling off at the end of this month, so she can make some space to pursue some creative endeavors that she's been considering for a while now. And so we're extremely grateful for her and all the incredible ways that she has served and cared for our community the past 3 years. She made my life and my responsibilities at Vox so much easier. And I know she did the same for many of you all as well. You know, everything from keeping our website up to date to collecting all the coffee mugs that people forgot and left behind at Liturgy. So we thank you, Claudia. I know you're still going to be an active member of our community, but we'll miss you on staff. And in the meantime, Lena, who's our part-time Vesper events coordinator, will be taking on many of Claudia's responsibilities in the interim. And they've been working on that transition for the past month now. So we're also grateful to Lena for filling in that gap going forward. And then secondly, as many of you know, Jason, our part-time community pastor, transitioned off staff earlier in the summer to focus more time on his spiritual direction practice. And then about a month ago, Gideon, our lead pastor, left Fox due to, personal difficult season that he's going through. And so this has been a heavy season for our staff and community. Our covenant members had a meeting a month ago to process the sadness, confusion, disappointment of the loss and transition. And at the same time, we were able to make space to process gratitude and the hope for what's next for our community. Our leadership team and staff met at the beginning of this month for our annual retreat, and it was a meaningful time just to reflect on where our community has been and what we're discerning God is inviting us into this next season. So we're currently developing a process for what it will look like to bring on and hire a new pastor, and we'll keep you posted on what that process will look like. I'm extremely grateful for our leadership team and for our community being proactive and finding ways to share the burden of this transition. And it has felt stabilizing knowing this community is more than any individual. And so if you have any questions or feedback, you can email the leadership team at navigation@voxvenier.com. So this morning, as we continue in the lectionary, our text is a familiar one. It's where Jesus responds to the religious leaders asking him, what the most important commandment is. And if you remember, he gives not one, but two that are equally the most important: loving God and loving our neighbor. And given the current state of our world, with an ongoing pandemic and an election and social unrest underneath it all, this is a very meaningful reminder to center ourselves back on what's most important. And so before we jump in, I want to give you a moment to think about this question. Where have you been invited to love in this season? What situations or individuals have presented you with an opportunity to practice love, especially those difficult and challenging invitations? So I'll give you a moment to reflect on that at home, and offer any of your thoughts on the live chat. For me, as I reflect on this past year, it's been a lot. I know all of us have been ready to flip the page on 2020 months ago. We've been through a lot as a community. It's hard to believe that it was just last fall that we made a decision to leave the ECC because our denomination didn't agree with us on what inclusion means for our LGBTQ members. And in that process of leaving, things were communicated that were hurtful to me and to our community. And that essentially kicked off this year, which would be consumed with a pandemic and protests and an election that has created so much division and loss. And yet it's especially in these moments of pain and injustice with people who have hurt us that we're reminded to recenter ourselves back to love. You know, how we interact and engage others in these moments provides us with the opportunity to learn how to love. This is how Roberta Bondi puts it. She says, according to the monastic teachers, wanting to love does not make us loving people. Love is more than simply warm feelings towards others. It is a disposition that involves patterns and habits of acting, seeing, and listening to other people on a day-to-day basis. For the early monastics, taking on these daily patterns and habits of love, which they called the virtues, is a fundamental part of learning how to love. And so the question I want us to reflect on this morning is, how does Jesus remind us to love? For us as individuals and as a community, what is our invitation to love, especially in this season of divisiveness and heaviness? And in our text for this morning, Jesus invites us to recenter ourselves and our lives around this invitation to love God, our neighbors, and ourselves. And so we start in verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You know, right before this, if you remember the text from last Sunday, the religious leaders have been on a mission to trap Jesus, to discredit him, make him look bad. They asked him trick questions like, you know, whether they should pay taxes to Caesar or not. And no matter how hard they try, they fail to make him look bad. You know, part of the problem is they're trying to box him in to either or scenarios. You know, for these religious leaders, things are either black or white, because when it's easy to determine who's right and who's wrong, they create a system of laws and rules that make it easy to judge and control people, which also leads to spiritual oppression and abuse. They wanted this power so they could be right. And yet Jesus is reminding them that love is actually the more important thing. And for us, we're reminded to use a lens of love as we view our world. Right? Notice Jesus didn't say the most important thing is to know all the laws or to defend certain beliefs or even to convert people, but it's simply to love. And in this overly divisive world we're living in right now, maybe a question we can ask ourselves is whether it's more important for us to be right or for us to be loving. And being loving doesn't mean we become permissive of everything or that we avoid confrontation over something that isn't right. But being loving creates a space of tenderness in how we see others and interact with them. It shouldn't lessen our resolve or advocacy to stand up and speak up against what's unjust and oppressive, but it should filter our eyes in how we see and hold people in our hearts. And that's been a helpful reminder for me in this season as I've been interacting with people who have been difficult and challenging to love. This is how Anthony DeMello puts it. He says, it is a sobering thought that the finest act of love you can perform is not an act of service, but an act of contemplation, of seeing. When you serve people, you help, support, comfort, alleviate pain. When you see them in their inner beauty and goodness, you transform and create. You know, one of the shows that Rachel and I thoroughly enjoyed recently is Ted Lasso. Highly recommended if you need something lighthearted and hopeful in this heavy season we're living through. Jason Sudeikis plays a college football coach who's hired to be the manager of a soccer club in England, even though he has zero experience and doesn't know any of the rules of soccer. And on top of that, imagine dropping a caricature of the most kind, loving, non-judgmental, and forgiving person into a cynical country, workplace, and sports team. And that's what you're watching unfold. And so it definitely has humor, but there's also a depth in watching this coach's character and the lens that he sees people through. You know, without spoiling any of the storyline, you know, there are interactions where he handles players' fragile egos with genuine care. He handles team members who struggle to belong and offers authentic inclusion. And he handles the shame of certain coworkers by leaning into forgiveness. And you can tell that the lens through which he sees people looks deeper for goodness within them. And he has curiosity to discover that goodness in each person. And that comes from a lens of love. And for us, maybe something we can practice is to intentionally put on a lens of love as we see others this week, right? Instead of using a lens of judgment or comparison or critique, you know, which tends to create a space of rivalry between us, how might a lens of love soften our gaze towards people so that we can make space for curiosity and kindness to exist between us instead? And then we continue in verse 37. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." So here Jesus is referring to the Shema in the Hebrew scriptures. And for everyone listening, this was a prayer that they would have memorized when they were kids. And maybe because it was overly familiar, you know, it would be easy for it to become mechanical or just words they recite out of habit. You know, for me, growing up in the church, whenever I read or heard this, you know, it was more like a checklist. You know, love God with your heart, soul, mind, strength. You know, I was taught that there were specific ways to love God, and there wasn't much room to expand beyond that. I had to sing certain songs. I had to memorize scripture. I had to pray a certain way. And it was very rigid. But as I moved out of that fundamental environment, I began to receive this as an invitation toward exploration, right? I mean, there's so many different expressions and avenues to practice love. And rather than it being a rigid and static process, we're invited into a dynamic experience. And for us, Jesus reminds us that we're invited to love God with playfulness and imagination. You know, in order to experience a more holistic expression of love, it involves some exploration and curiosity. You know, my spiritual director has recently been encouraging me to explore a more playful posture in how I engage with God. You know, my background is engineering, which I studied in college, and I did technology consulting for years before I helped start Vox. And so I was sharing with her about the transition that Vox is going through right now with all the staff changes and trying to process what God's invitation is for me in the midst of this season of disruption and change for our community. And she couldn't help but point out the humor in the fact that my background is in engineering. She said, "Waylon, you know about design and structure and stability. And in this season, that's what your community needs. That's what you're gifted and skilled at. And that's the most loving thing you can do right now, is to offer that stability and dependability." And that realization came from her encouraging me to make space for playfulness, to consider how I am to love God with all of who I am. And so for us, maybe a practice we can all try this week is to incorporate some playfulness in how we engage and connect with God. As we listen and discern what God is inviting us into this season, you know, try to carry a posture of playfulness and even some humor as we consider the different ways God has made each of us to express love and care. And then we close in verse 38. "This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Again, to those who are listening, you know, this second commandment that Jesus responds with also isn't anything new. You know, both commandments are familiar and universally understood as being important. But what Jesus does here is he connects the two of them together. Not only is he saying that loving God and loving your neighbor are equally important, but he's implying that it's not possible to love God if you don't love your neighbor. That's the tangible way of measuring our love for God. And we're also invited to love our neighbor the same way we love ourselves. And so for us, you know, our invitation is to fully love our neighbors and to fully love ourselves. I mean, it's such a short and simple statement, but it's a difficult tension to live out. You know, those two things can seem to be in direct opposition to one another, you know, loving our neighbor or loving ourselves. Sometimes it can feel like we have to choose one or the other, or maybe we're doing one at the expense of the other. You know, in light of the transitions that Vox is experiencing right now, you know, I've been reflecting on this dynamic and tension and how it's played out over the life of our community. You know, when we first started Vox, we devoted a lot of our energy and vision around what it means to be a good neighbor. You know, our midweek groups were originally called neighborhood groups because we wanted our small groups to be geographically intentional. You know, where you live matters, and it should impact those living in your physical neighborhood. And then we started Space 12 as a community center to engage and serve the East Austin neighborhood on 12th Street. And even though we really didn't know what we were doing, we knew we wanted to create and offer something for our neighbors and city. You know, I remember as we were renovating that building one night, someone walked by and asked, you know, if we were starting a Chinese restaurant. And we told them, well, if this neighborhood needs one, you know, we'll make it happen. You know, we were willing to try anything in the name of being good neighbors. But about 5-6 years in, we had burned ourselves out because we were reacting to and trying to meet everybody's needs. We weren't practicing any sort of self-care. We had prioritized our external expression of faith and loving people by trying to earn their love and earn God's love to the point we had neglected our interior expression of faith and pushed aside the need for us to simply be and receive God's love that's freely offered. And that began a journey of healing and restoration as we began to move into a more contemplative and introspective practice of faith. We started focusing on self-care and establishing healthy boundaries that wouldn't overextend ourselves in our community, right? We spent time and energy learning about tools like the Enneagram and contemplative practices like centering prayer. And when I look back at our journey, you know, it's been an experience of one or the other, you know, loving our neighbor or loving ourselves. And I think Jesus is reminding us that we're invited to fully love both our neighbor and ourselves. And how might we be a community of contemplation and active faith at the same time? You know, after being in a season of contemplation, I wonder how we might return and move towards a more healthy expression of loving our neighbors. You know, it's worth mentioning that when Jesus invites us to love our neighbors as ourselves, he's pulling this directly from the Hebrew scriptures in Leviticus 19. You know, if we look at that text, there's a list of what it means to love your neighbor. It includes things like, make sure you take care of the poor and immigrants in your community. Don't oppress or exploit others for your own benefit. Don't discriminate against those who are poor and favor those who are wealthy. Uphold, right? Uphold justice for all people. And not only were these relevant thousands of years ago, but these are such timely descriptions of what it means to love our neighbor today. And this was always God's intent of what it means to love our neighbor. And I'm sensing that this is what our community is being invited to in this next season. You know, to remain rooted in who we are because of God's love for us. And from that place of rootedness, we can love our neighbors in a healthy, authentic, and meaningful way that upholds justice for all people. And so, Vox, my prayer for us in this season is that we can strive towards a healthy practice of fully loving our neighbor as we fully love ourselves, and that we would become aware and discerning of when we are focusing on one at the expense of the other. And as we love our neighbors and ourselves more fully, we are in fact loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so let me close with this prayer from St. Francis. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, let us sow pardon. Where there is doubt, let us sow faith. Where there is despair, let us sow hope. Where there is darkness, let us sow light. And where there is sadness, let us sow joy. O divine Creator, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to a full life. And so we pray this in the love of the Father, the compassion of the Son, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen.